whispered to Brian, it's only one service and I still can't show up on time. Please stand in body or in spirit. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. On this day, Christ took a towel and washed his disciples' feet.
On this day, Christ broke bread for his disciples.
On this day, Christ poured out wine, telling them to drink of the cup of new life. My dear siblings in Christ, this Lenten season we have heard our Lord's call to struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that keeps us from loving God and one another, this is the struggle to which we were called at baptism. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor and enter the celebration of the great 3 days, reconciled with God and with one another. While we were ensnared in sin, Christ died for us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God promises to heal us and forgive us. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. For self-centered living and for failing to walk with humility and gentleness.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For the misuse of human relationships and for unwillingness to see the image of God in others.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For jealousies that divide families and nations, for rivalries that create strife and warfare. For reluctance in sharing the gifts of God and for carelessness with the fruits of creation.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For hurtful and angry deeds that harm.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For idleness in witnessing to Jesus and for squandering the gifts of love and grace. And in spite of all of these things, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, I think we only do this about one time a year. And this is the one time a year we do it. I will invite you forward as you desire or you are able for laying on of hands and for absolution. So if you would like to come forward for this, first of all, you may be seated. And if you would like to come forward for individual laying on of hands and absolution on this night, please come forward at this time, and during which time we will sing Chief of Sinners Though I Be. And if you cannot come forward, just kind of wave and I'll go to you.
Obedience.
all your sins. In obedience to the command of our Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another as he loves us. Write this commandment in our hearts and give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The first reading tonight is from Exodus, the 12th chapter. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembly, congregation of Israel, shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 116 responsively with me. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he inclined his ears to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithfulness.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will
offer you a thanksgiving sacrifice in all the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Not sure what Peter thought he was going to do. Anyway, Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing now, what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "This is my commandment." Oops, not. I flipped too many pages. Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, he being Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. This sermon is hot off the presses. Another fun thing about not preaching prior to this is, sorry, but this one's longer than normal. I wonder, when do we become squeamish about feet? Do you remember what age? 30? 39? 39 is when you become squeamish about feet, apparently. I don't know the exact age as well as Andrew apparently does, but this age is definitely older than 12. Because this week, I came home, and I see Ben, my oldest, who is 12, and Andrew, sorry, my oldest boy, who is 12. She just glared at me. My oldest son, Ben, who is 12, and Andrew, they are out in the yard playing baseball. The yard is wet, it's a little cold, but that's a perfectly normal thing to see, right? Two boys out in the yard playing baseball. Except for when they come into the house, apparently at least one of them didn't have shoes on. Was it both of you?
They had socks on.
Socks on! Socks on, yes. Shoes, no. So when they come into the house, they just have dirty, filthy socks that are dirty and cold and wet. And underneath them, dirty and cold feet. At some point, though, life will teach them that you don't play baseball in barefoot in the muddy, cold yard, do you? You wear shoes because not wearing shoes, Andrew, not wearing shoes, Ben, is just gross. All of us adults know that. For most of us, we hit a certain age, apparently it's 39, and we decide that, like Peter, we don't want people to see or touch our feet. Our hairy big toes, big toes, they have hair growing out of them, right? We don't want people to see our hairy big toes or our bunions or our calluses or our warts. We learn to cover up. We learn to hide the unpleasantness that is our feet. So we wear shoes, especially to church, right, Andrew? We wear shoes. Even Andrew, who plays baseball, barefoot or with socks out in the yard, wears church Crocs. That's right, church Crocs. They're kind of shoes. Because church is a place where we put on our Sunday best, or maybe our Thursday best, I don't know, where we look put together and respectable and most certainly covered up. And I stand before you looking the part. I have the white robe, this colorful stole that's meant to match all of our paraments. I have dress pants and I have a clergy shirt with the collar, right? And I have shoes on. I have nice black dress shoes on. It's a given that you just wear shoes, especially to church, because this is church. And it's not like we just go around a church not wearing shoes, do we? We wear shoes here. Right? This is not the kind of place where we expose what we would prefer to instead hide. This is the place where we put on our best, isn't it? Our best clothes, our best shoes. This is where we put on our best selves for everyone to see. This place, this sanctuary is, dare I say, it's easier without the robe on. This is holy ground, is it not? Well, Well, good thing I'm standing on ground that's been trod before me. God called to Moses out of the burning bush, saying, "Come no closer. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And then Jesus said, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no share with me." That's what he told Peter. And nearest I can tell, he wasn't going to wash Peter's feet with his sandals on. You can't really truly wash someone's feet if they're wearing shoes. We can keep our shoes on. We can cover ourselves. We can stay respectable. We can try to keep what's nasty and gross about ourselves. Some of us, it might be our hairy toes. We can try to keep it hidden. But we are called to holy ground, to places where calluses and bunions and warts aren't just exposed and seen. They're touched and they're washed and they're healed by our friend and our teacher, our Lord and our God. Jesus says to Judas, "Do quickly what you are going to do." So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out. Judas walks out on Jesus. He betrays his friend and his teacher, his Lord and his God, and yet, despite all that is callous and broken and sinful, Jesus takes hold of his betrayer, Judas, and he washes him anyway. He loves him anyway. And our poor, confused friend, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answers, "Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." Peter will deny being a follower, a disciple, a friend to Jesus. He will deny his Lord and his God. And yet, despite all that is callous and broken and sinful with him, Jesus takes hold of his denier, Peter, and he washes him anyway. He loves him anyway. The one who knows about all of our calluses, but not just our calluses, our calloused hearts. The one who knows about all of our bunions, but not just those, about our brokenness. The one who knows about all of our warts and all of our sins kneels before us anyway, taking hold of all about us that is nasty and gross anyway. The parts of us that deny Jesus when it's convenient for us to deny Jesus. The parts of us that deny justice when it's easiest to deny justice. The parts of us that betray the command to love one another when we decide that loving just isn't an option. That betray Jesus when his call on us and our lives gets too hard. And still, Jesus kneels before us and washes us anyway. Jesus loves us anyway. Because there is no other way. This is the only way. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. Now, this week, I do occasionally get opportunities to worship where I'm not standing up front and preaching. This week, I had one of those opportunities. There was a worship service led by the Synod on Tuesday, and I had an opportunity to go to it. And our bishop, Bishop Daniel Bowden, he said in his sermon, he said this. He said, "Love is not a condition of our salvation. Love is not a condition of our salvation, but it is the shape of it." As in, we don't have to love that other person that we really don't want to love in order to be saved. But love is the shape of our salvation. Salvation for us and for them. And if that's true, and I do think that this is true, then what is the shape of love? I don't think it's by accident that just before Jesus gives the command to love one another, I don't think it's an accident that just before he gives that command, he kneels and washes feet. The feet of all the sinners that he has called to be his disciples. That's right, sinners can be disciples too. That's good news for us. Because this is the shape of love. It's a love that washes the feet of the one who will deny you when the going gets tough. It's washing the feet of the one who will walk out on you and betray you with a kiss, no less. The shape of love that saves us is a love that washes us anyway. When we are exposed by Jesus, when Jesus really knows us, we are standing on holy ground, barefoot and exposed, our sins revealed and made known. It is only then that we can be washed and made clean, loved and restored, saved and made whole. It is only from this place that we can really and truly love one another. Says Jesus, if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Not as a command, but because he washes us anyway, but because he loves us anyway. Now, to love another person anyway, despite all that is wrong with that person. This is an unnatural kind of love for us humans, isn't it? We're more of a, we love those who love us kind of people, aren't we? That kind of love is natural for us. But our Lord and our teacher Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But I say to you, love your enemies. Like, is he on about this whole love your enemies thing again? I guess. Wash the feet of your enemies, those who will deny you and betray you. This is an inhuman kind of love. Because to us humans, this is disgusting and gross. It makes us squeamish, I think. But it's not because we're holding another's foot in our hands. It's because of whose foot we're holding. Really don't want to hold the foot of our enemy, do we? Christ-shaped love washes the feet of the denier, of the betrayer, of the enemy. Which is why Christ-shaped love makes us squeamish. Which is why I think this world is mired in violence instead of mired in love. It's mired in ignorance instead of love, hatred instead of love. Not because love is easy and we refuse to love. No, love is hard. We decide that there are so many people who deserve something less than love. And too often we act on it. Which makes the command, love one another, love your enemy, especially when the shape of that love looks like washing your enemy's feet, their dirty, disgusting enemy feet, an impossible command, a command that we simply cannot fulfill. And yet it's there. We cannot fulfill this command unless we have been loved like this anyway. You see, this kind of love, this inhuman love, it does not start with us. It cannot start with us. It flows from God, from a God who loved us anyway. From Jesus washing our feet anyway. He does not wait for worthiness or for our calloused hearts to soften. The only requirement to receive a share with Christ is to be washed and to be loved. Note who is doing the work. It is not us, it is Jesus Christ. It is all about his work, and his work of love changes everything. Only after we have stood in this place, after we have been exposed as denier and betrayer, only after we have been washed anyway and loved anyway, can we go forth and wash the feet of another. Can we love one another, even when that other is the enemy? Because something happens here in this place when Christ acts in this way. Our eyes are open. The warts and the bunions and the calluses of our enemy, they might be in different places than our own warts and calluses and bunions, but we start to see that maybe we have some of the same warts and calluses and bunions that they do too. We see that we too, like our enemies, are broken. And we, just as our enemy does, we need to be washed and healed and loved anyway. And we are. And this is a place of holy ground. Now, I had a concern with writing this sermon. My concern was I was going to make you all feel guilty and feel like you needed to take your shoes off and come forward and get your feet washed. Otherwise, Jesus didn't love you and you had no share with him. Well, point one, I'm not Jesus. Point two, it's not meant to guilt you into getting your feet washed tonight. In fact, that would probably take too long if you all wanted to get your feet washed. So please keep your feet covered if the thought of me touching your feet makes you squeamish, okay? It's more than okay. This place is not the only holy ground that we know. We are meant to wash feet and to have our feet washed out there, too. Perhaps especially out there. And while washing feet, as Christ commanded, is a sacred and a holy act, it is a shape of love, but it is not the only shape of love. What is holy and sacred is to know someone, and I mean really to know that someone, their warts and their hairy toes, their bunions and their cankles, and their flaws and their failures, and to love them anyway. To need this need not take the form of literally washing another person's feet, though it might take the form of washing another person's feet. It need only take the Christ-like shape and form of love. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death. To kneel before another, even our enemy. To take another's foot into our hands, even that of our enemy. To love another, even our enemy. Just as Christ loves us anyway. In these places, in this knowing, in this loving, in this vulnerability, this is where I think we encounter God. Nothing covered. These places where love, where we love and are loved anyway, where Christ-shaped love springs forth, where impossible love prevails over instinctive hate, these are the places of holy ground. And when we stand in these places, we might expect that our God should cry out, "Take off your shoes, you are standing on holy ground." But when we stand there, we don't hear it. Because we realize that maybe our shoes are already off. Amen. Now, normally, at this point, we would go right into our hymn of the day. However, for the sake of time, for the sake of time, we will go right into our feet washing, which will include the singing of hymns. So, on this night, we have heard our Lord's commandment to love one another as he has loved us. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other as Jesus became our servant. Our commitment to this loving service is signified in the Our commitment to this loving service is signified in the washing of feet, following the example our Lord gave us on the night before his death. So, this time, Adam will begin playing and we will sing along. If you desire for your feet to be washed this night, please come forward. I have water here and you can sit here and I will wash your feet. Well, mostly I'll pour water over them. I brought nothing to scrub them with, okay? So I'm just going to pour water over your feet. I will dry them, and then you can scooch on down to put your shoes and socks back on. If you desire, you don't have to. You can keep your shoes off, okay? All right.
Please stand in body or in spirit.
Trusting in Jesus who gave his life for the world, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
God, who kneels to wash our feet, gather your church around the world during this holy week. We especially lift to you Trinity Lutheran Church, our sister churches in the Northwestern Ohio Synod, those of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jordan and the Holy Land. Humble the powerful and lift up any who are marginalized, and raise the voices of your church that those who suffer may be comforted and the hungry may be fed. Renew our faith and make us bold in service to love our neighbors. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, whose greatest commandment is love, guide all who govern by the principle of love. Transform unjust human systems that oppress some for the gain of others. Restore communities as places of peace and concern for those who are vulnerable, especially in the Middle East, Russia, Ukraine, Haiti, and many regions in sub-Saharan Africa. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, who is betrayed, comfort people everywhere who have suffered abuse at the hands of someone they knew and trusted. Heal the bodies, minds, and hearts of victims of exploitation. Help all who are suffering this day to know that you are near, especially those we lift aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Receive these prayers, loving God, for the sake of the one who loved us to the end, Christ Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. And a special note, any loose offering will go to Hopewood Outdoors. Any offerings designated to a specific church will go to that church.
Let us pray.
O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to this table, feast on God's goodness and mercy.
Thank you.
invite you to remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in a wonderful sacrament, you strengthen us with the saving power of your suffering, death, and resurrection. May this sacrament of your body and blood so work in us that the fruits of your redemption will show forth in the way we live, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our ancestors, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near. And there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. My company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. Oh, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen. You have rescued me. I will tell you your name. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nation. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.